do a Google search for the words. I want to talk to you a little bit today about when religion is your God. I'd like to call back from the scripture that was read, verses 27, 28 of Mark 2. And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Father, you have many things that you want to share this morning, different things for different people. This will happen as we yield to your Spirit presence and guidance, leading our thoughts and speaking in our spirit to the things you want to converse about. All this, Lord, occurs in the context of preaching, sometimes within the human voice, but always under your Spirit. To the glory of Jesus this morning, we accept your word. In his name we pray. Amen. So Jesus, this image here is of Jesus and the disciples moving. They're always on the move. And it was perfectly acceptable within Jewish law to glean fields. They had a very hospitable law towards strangers and people who were wandering, traveling. And so they'd be habitual to pluck the heads of the grain and eat them. And somehow in this context, though, it's a Sabbath, and the Pharisees are standing close enough or walking close enough, I guess, to speak with Jesus while the disciples are plucking all these heads of grain and eating them, sort of getting a lunch on the move. And they said, "This isn't lawful. Why they do this on the Sabbath?" Now, the Sabbath is a time that God created in the culmination of his creation. Man was created on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested. And in that word rest, there's a whole lot, because God contemplated and enjoyed and sort of gave himself a present of creation on the Sabbath. He saw that it had all was good, and he took pleasure in that. And the Sabbath was instituted at that time for us to enjoy it too. Now, in time, religion got a hold of that, and because God did set aside the Sabbath in his law and in his commandments, religion went to building, stacking, measuring people by rules regarding customs and traditions about the Sabbath. It's very easy, especially with regard to the Sabbath, to make your religion your God. Not many people make the Sabbath a God. Usually they worship other gods on the Sabbath. For years, I've wanted to just go, "Arr! You people need to be in church on Sunday, and don't you know how important it is?" And, you know, when our attendance last week was down in the 50s, and I know we need to be, ought to be regularly averaging in the 80s, I know it's not about money or numbers, but it is about butts in the pew. Your butt ought to be in a pew. And so that's that. So in wanting to find a way to talk about that, I sort of thought up all these very Pharisaical sermons I could preach. And I could blame Justin and say what a slacker he is. You know, how dare he take a Sunday off with his family and go somewhere? Heathen. And that's the great thing about the scriptures, because there's nothing truly new under the sun. And the scriptures really do speak to all of it. The issue wasn't that they were stealing heads of grain from someone's field. The issue was the day on which they were doing it. It wasn't even that they were hungry and needed a meal, or that the Lord's crew was on the move. Anything that could have given heart or meaning or depth to religious purpose was sort of not present there. It was all about breaking the rules on a day. The rabbis had, of course, an elaborate system of rules that they had added to the practice of God's law. And there were things that were relevant to the Sabbath, especially. Do you know that if you have a crock pot, that was invented for the Sabbath? Look, Google it. Jews invented the crock pot so they wouldn't have to cook on the Sabbath. That's a cool idea, right? So every time you fire up your crock pot, say, "Lord, this is my Sabbath, I'm claiming it." When the disciples began to pluck the heads of grain, in the eyes of the religious leaders looking on, they were reaping. That's work. They were threshing. That's work. They were winnowing. And they were preparing food on the Sabbath. Four violations of the Sabbath law while they walked along eating their grains. Peas, 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 peas. Sorry. Goober peas. Rabbis, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were good at religion. Often on Facebook, I hear some yahoo talking about preachers who wear robes and saying, "Oh, you know, they love to be seen in their flowing gowns and their gold ornate vestments. They're hypocrites and Pharisees." I guess it is easy to make a target of a religious leader. I know I'm not wearing my robe today, although I wore it for years every Sunday. But I got beat out of that because during COVID it was not convenient to the format we were using. And not only that, people said, "I really enjoy seeing you get out all that religious garment stuff, you know, be it in a suit and tie, be American." But I miss wearing my robe. For years, I didn't have to worry about the fact that I was overweight and that people would sit there and judge me or think about, "Is he fatter or skinnier this Sunday?" Or, "He doesn't know how to dress." Or, "Look, he ought to at least pull his britches up. Fly's undone." That robe, for me and my purposes, gave me a sense of security and obscurity. That no one had to focus on anything but what I was saying. And how easily we can be shamed over things that have a perfectly innocent application in the name of religion. Getting dressed this morning, and Joy wasn't there, and we'd fussed about my last, you know, "All right, the jacket I had on last Sunday, I can't wear it again until it gets to the dry cleaners. It just smells like a wet dog." She left the house without giving me any advice this morning. So I went to the closet and got out this nifty coat I found. I hope it matches the shirt. But while I was putting the tie on, the Lord said, "Don't wear a tie. You don't want to wear a tie with your topic today." Well, Lord, I got to wear a tie. I wear a tie every Sunday. And there it was. You see, it can be a trap, can't it? Our religious behavior. I used to do Civil War reenacting, and there were this class of people who were really pros at it. Some of them were even historians, many of them. And they would count the number of threads in a buttonhole on a particular example jacket from a museum. And that would be the pattern jacket for all reenacting. And so if you didn't have the proper number of buttonholes that had been stitched with hand stitch in a certain number of loops, you were what they called a farb. which is not a good word, a wannabe, but they were serious about recreating history. And we could go on and on about people making and highlighting and elevating something to a place where it becomes its own God, a religion. As I said, the rabbis had all kinds of rules. One was, a man could not carry something in his right hand or in his left hand. He couldn't carry anything across his chest or on his shoulders. But you could carry something on the back of your hand. Can you imagine all the people trying to figure out whether they could carry something on the back of their hand or not? You could carry it with your foot, because otherwise you couldn't wear a sandal. You could carry something on your elbow or in your ear or in your hair. Are you starting to get the hint here? As long as it accommodates certain things, it's okay. On the Sabbath, you were forbidden to tie a knot, except a woman could tie a knot in her girdle, because that's the only way they could hold it up, was to tie it together. So you could tie a knot in a girdle. Now here's a great innovation. This is the know-how at work. This is the know-how that invented the crock pot. If you had to raise a bucket from the well, you couldn't tie a rope on the bucket, but you could have a woman tie her girdle to the bucket. Isn't it great? That's what religion is all about. Nutso. And even today, we fall victim to religious idolatry in the worship of religion, creating something that happens to be comfortable to tradition, custom, sensibilities. You know, we have people who... somebody asked me the other day how we were dressing for a meeting, and they said, I guess church, what did they say, church casual? No, Sunday casual. I said, yes, Sunday casual. And he said, not flip-flops. I said, no, not flip-flops. Not beach Sunday casual. And yet in church, you know, we have people who dress in all kinds of ways, which I really feel great about. I think that not just for an individual choice. Mike, are you wearing shorts today by any chance? Oh, crap. Who, anybody wearing shorts? John always wears shorts. Mark, you defy convention. The choice ought to be there in a pure kind of sense rather than what we think others will be expecting. But Jesus was allowing his disciples to eat on the Sabbath and gather grain because they were hungry and needed a meal. And then he said, when he's opposed, he said, guess what? The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I make the rules. I can interpret the rules. And here's what he meant, said the Pharisee. Man was created on the sixth day, the Sabbath on the seventh. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and I'm a son of man. There is no way that the Sabbath, there's no way that man was created for the Sabbath. Rather, the Sabbath was created for the man. And I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Sometimes we look at obscure religious behavior today, and we also can be trapped in that, essentially claiming titles like Orthodox or Conservative. We can easily find ourselves wearing the shoes of the Pharisee, of the religious idolater. Jesus often broke man's religious laws, and he seemed to delight in it. If Jesus enjoyed bringing discomfort to people in the middle of the practice of their religion, and we gather as people on any given Sunday, daring people to stir us out of our comfort, maybe we are religious idolaters too. It's good to have Jesus tweak us from time to time. What God wants is what stands behind every one of His laws. The law is a way of communicating to human beings something that He wants behind that law that is spiritual in nature. Like, what God really wants is not a sacrifice. Let's kill something. What God really wants is mercy. In Hosea 6:6. Well, that loving others is more important than how the ritual is carried out. We make accommodations for people all the time because of illness or defect in some way. They're being hindered or hampered or can't participate. We often build ways in so that they can, because love is more important than our rituals. The sacrifices that God loves are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And so we go on to look at Genesis and say, what was God's purpose? Well, the truth is, humanity came along kind of a rocky path. There were masters and there were slaves. There were victors and there were people who had been conquered. There were people who were cruel to their animals, and there were people who were harsh to their families. And God knew, because God happened to be God. Masters will be cruel for 6 days, but there will be one day of rest. And people who drive their animals 6 days of the week will be required to let those animals recover for a day. And that in families, religious observance will keep order in that family. And yet they will be taught precepts, learn spiritual principles, and learn about God. Anybody remember the blue laws? Sarah, the blue laws were these really great things. Talk about an effort to enshrine a good idea into law. Talk about good ways to really mess people up about religion. Create and encode laws that will cause people who are not Christian to conform to Christian ideals. Or how about prohibition? Those were roaring good times, right? No, religion always makes a mess of spiritual relationship to God and to people. So I couldn't really get up here and fuss at people for not being here today. Oh, you know, you break Sunday school record, you get a gold star anyway. But what a good master we serve, who understood that if he didn't say, observe the Sabbath, we wouldn't. And God still to this day requires that we observe the Sabbath. Now today we understand that the Sabbath is not necessarily just the seventh day, but rather that a person set aside a day in their week is set aside to recover, to allow the body to recover, to allow the soul to rest, to study spiritual things, to think of God and meditate on Him. Preachers are as guilty as anybody of not taking a Sabbath rest. Now, back in the... Well, I can't say that. In my mind, I like to think I would go skiing on Sunday. But that hasn't happened since I was a teenager. So, I couldn't go skiing today if I wanted to. But, you know, Sometimes we get the idea that because we are having recreation, that we are observing the Sabbath. I know on Sunday for me, it meant that we would be at my grandma's house for a little while and then head straight out to Lake Murray for an afternoon of skiing and craziness, and then we'd feel good about having observed the Sabbath. Sometimes I need the discipline of knowing that God expects and requires that I have Sabbath rest. That I sit silently, that my phone is off, that the TV is not on, and that I'm allowing myself to be confronted in the silence by an awesome and holy God. To reflect on what that means for my life and the implications for what I believe. It's really not wrapped up in the kind of dress I wear or the clothing I have on. It feels good to put on a suit sometimes and appear respectably in front of people. And other times it just feels good to be casual. It feels even best to be in a room where people have dressed all kind of ways. That's what I like. You most often find that in a church sanctuary or on an airplane. Don't go to Walmart. There's just one kind of. But God is so good. The issue isn't really what kind of idol are you embracing. It's examine the idols you do have. Because many people, I've made a religion. Somebody asked me 3 weeks ago, why don't I ever reenact anymore? Well, I haven't. It's not because I've grown in my understanding or become more educated. I don't reenact anymore because I recognized it was an idol. It was what I did all the time. Yes, I worshiped God at reenactments. I attended period church services and really found some moving sometimes shape note singing and things like that. But the truth was, my hobby was my God. And for all the people who say, well, I can worship God on a golf course, that's true, but most often you're worshiping the golf course on God. And so we need to observe our hobbies. And don't even start me on sports. Preacher, we just won't be there for a while because travel ball. Well, I didn't even know travel ball didn't exist when I played ball. Sometimes you couldn't practice on Wednesday night because that's when all the Baptists were in church. Don't call ball practice on Wednesday night. First Baptist will be down the administration's throat. But now you have Sunday sports and they will actually shame you if you make time for church. Nothing is more important than the worship of sports. Except on Thanksgiving and special holidays, then you should worship sports. Or how about the sciences? Name one. The tangible proofs of laws of creation. It's a wonderful thing to study and be good at. But when we say that these disciplines become more important, more worthy of our trust and our praise than things of spirituality or faith, we have named our God. We have our religion. The truth is, while in the beginning it might have been a human master who would beat or whip a slave or kill an animal for disobedience or laziness, today, our masters still work us to death. Our gods will still drive us to insanity as we worship at their feet. Leisure, the gods of our culture, the cultural finger pointers. If we're trying to satisfy anyone but God Almighty today, and you're weary of it, Preacher Chris gives you permission to step away from your idols. even to step away from the idols of Christian religion. What in the world is Christian nationalism? You know, like that's a thing. I just want us to receive a caution today that even our Christianity can become ensconced in tradition, cultural mores, habitual behavior because they are comfortable, because they provide us with a framework for determining right and wrong in the world. Too often we can come to find we're worshiping at the feet of a false idol. And I pray that when you get up on Sunday morning, the day that we Christians observe as the Sabbath, that you reflect on what this day is meant to be for you. And maybe be concerned less with what you'll wear and what your heart will wear. If you experience anything other than the smile and the love of God contemplating you as you look contemplating Him, you're missing the mark. And yes, I know which spindles in the altar are upside down. And I once even counted the number of little pips in a popcorn ceiling while I listened to a preacher go on and on. The Sabbath was made for you to expose yourself and be exposed by God, and thereby finding the true purpose in religion. Amen. The Sabbath is created for communion and fellowship with God. One unique way that Jesus did that was to institute a meal. It's a simple meal. It's a sample meal, really. A bite and a swallow. Right? It wasn't always that way. But we have this symbolic meal as tokens of grace. And the proper attitude to approach the table is not in fear and trembling, and not as people who are gluttons and ready to eat the whole loaf of bread, but people who are ready to experience grace. Jesus said, as often as you do these things, remember me. So I would suggest, as you're doing it, remember. Okay? Today, Kevin and H.E., I can't say names, are going to be serving in just a minute, but we're going to go through the ritual. So let's prepare to come to the table this morning.